Have a portion of scripture to read for you, and I guess probably you could figure it out where I'm going to read from, but I want to start in John chapter 19. And I guess this sermon has been preached many, many times since the Lord went back to heaven, but I'm going to maybe bring out a different point than maybe you've ever heard. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you haven't. It's still the Bible and it's still true. I tell people all the time I don't preach anything new, and I don't. If I were to preach something new, I would ask this church to tell me to just get out of here and not come back. Because there's nothing new that I can preach. But God opens things up for us sometimes that maybe we've never seen before. Glad that it's that way. I'm glad that His Word is that way. It is wonderful to have His Holy Word for us to read and study. John chapter 19 and verse 38. And it says, "And after this," and Brother Colin told us in Sunday school, he says, if you see the "and after this" or "after this," you need to go back and think of the things that have happened before that. And we will, if the Lord will help us this morning. It says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, being secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." And we're going to move into the 20th chapter, if the Lord will help us. It says, "The first day of the week, which would have been Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet went he not in. It says, Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home." And that's our portion of reading this morning. John chapter 19, the last few verses. The first 10 verses of John chapter 20. And the part that I would like to use for a lesson text this morning comes out of the 7th verse. "And the napkin." And my title this morning, if I could, would be "The Napkin, a Witness." And maybe you've never thought of these verses of Scripture this way, but the Lord gave me this early this week, and I began to study what, and I've read these a lot of times, and I began to study what the Lord would have for us to bring this morning. And I read these verses of Scripture, and I got down to the napkin, and the Lord said, "That's it, the napkin." And I thought, "Lord, what am I supposed to do with a napkin?" Sometimes we get strange thoughts like that, and God just gives them to us, and we have to preach them in the way that God gives them to us. Now, I want to explain what the napkin was. I looked in all kinds of different translations, and I wanted to see what they thought the napkin was. And I don't believe it was one like you might buy at Walmart that we would have at the dinner table. I don't think that was the kind of napkin that it was. Some say it was a handkerchief or something of that nature. Others say it was a cloth. I imagine it was similar to something that I have in my hand, but I imagine that it was laid upon Jesus' face as he had been laid there in the garden, in that tomb that was borrowed. But I want to make mention of something this morning. We know what took place at Calvary. If you've been in church very much at all, you know what took place at Calvary. And you know why He had to go to Calvary. You know, for my sins and for your sins, somebody had to die for us. Somebody had to go and take our place on the cross. Somebody had to do that. If it wasn't Him, it was going to be you and I. But I'm glad that He took the cross. I'm glad that He went, because He was a perfect sacrifice. He was something that you and I could not be. His blood was precious where our blood was not. But we know what took place there on Calvary. We know He'd gone before Pilate, Jesus did, and He had to answer for some of the things that happened. But notice I say this, He didn't say a whole lot. They asked Him about some of the things He'd done. They asked Him, they said, "Are You the King of the Jews?" And He said, "You said it. You said I was." You know, He knew that they knew already that He was the King of the Jews. But guess what? They had no intentions of believing it at all. They didn't want to believe it. The Roman government wanted nothing to do with this man named Jesus. Nothing to do with him. And I'll say this. Old Mary, she come down that day, and some say He was crucified on a Friday. Looking at the way things line up, I don't necessarily know that it was actually a Friday to Sunday type of thing. I think if we want to be realistic about things, it was probably a little different, but I'm not going to go on top of that mountaintop this morning. But I believe that things may have been a little bit different time-wise. But I want to say this. No matter when it was, He still died on the cross. No matter when it was, there was still a man that took the cross at Calvary for my sins. It doesn't matter what day it was, but what matters is that it happened. It matters because today we have a whole lot of people that say, "Oh, there wasn't a man that went to Calvary. There wasn't a man that died. There wasn't a man named Jesus. He was not the Messiah." But guess what? He was. He was. You know, there's people today, and there's a sect of people that still are looking for Jesus to come. They're looking for the Messiah to come, but He's already came once. And guess what? He's going to come again someday. After a while, if the Lord be our helper, we will get to that. But we know the cruel things that took place to Jesus on the cross, even before He got to the cross. Beaten. Mocked. The Bible says He was beaten beyond recognition. Didn't even look like Himself anymore. But He did that for you and I. Had a crown of thorns placed upon His head. The King of the world, who deserved a gold-plated crown, took a crown of thorns upon His head, and they were mashed down. And I can just imagine the blood beginning to run down His face as they smote that crown of thorns on there. But everything He went through was for you and I, so that we might be saved someday after a while. I'm glad it was that way. You know, I'm glad God did things, and I've said this, and I'll believe it to the day I die. What God does is perfect. Everything that God does has a reason behind it. I don't believe He would send an innocent man to die for us if He didn't have a reason. You know, people today, they want to come at you and they say, "Well, this is all a story." Bless your heart if you think it's a story. If you think it's not real, guess what? Someday you will believe. Someday you will realize that there was a man named Jesus who died for you. You will realize that. But this doesn't end at Calvary. I want to say today, Jesus made mention as He was dying on the cross, as He was fixing to give up the Holy Ghost, to give up the ghost, He said, "It is finished." Now what He was talking about was that this part of the plan is finished. I'm dying on the cross. And you know, a lot of people, they get to the cross and they leave it there. They say, "Well, He died on the cross. Glory, hallelujah. I'm thankful that He died there." That was the first part somebody had to die. But all along, Jesus was telling people, "I'm going to the cross." And maybe they believed that. Maybe for just a little while they actually thought that He was going to go to the cross. And He did go to the cross. But in this day and time, people would have been sacrificed that way. They would have been killed that way. They would have been hung on crosses or hanged on crosses, rather. They would have had to have died that punishment. You think about that this morning. Our Savior died the death of a common prisoner. He died the death of a common thief, murderer, anything bad that you can imagine. He died that way for every single one of us. But I'm glad for Calvary. The name of this church, Mount Calvary. I'm glad for that place. I'm glad that He took the cross right on up Calvary's hill and was hung there, hanged there as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'm glad. You may say, "Preacher, you're awful happy about somebody having to die." I read over in John chapter 17 where He prayed for you and I, and I may have touched on this last night, but He prayed for you and I. You know, he didn't want to go in some way. He said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if it would be okay with you, just let me not have to go through this." He already knew that he was going to have to. But he's a lot like you and I. He didn't want to have to go through the physical pain of having to die. He was a man. He had the same thoughts and actions that you and I did. Can you imagine going to the cross? I can't. I can't imagine somebody beating me with what they beat him with. Unimaginable. I can't imagine that. So no doubt I would have been the exact same way. Lord, if it would be your will, please let this cup pass from me. But if not, Father, not thy will, but thine. And they take him and they beat him and they do all these things. And he dies on the cross. And he speaks out. And even as he's on the cross, he says a few things. And he says it in Hebrew. And he says, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" God hadn't forsaken him. Not even for a moment. This was his plan. And I'm going to say today it didn't stop at Calvary. He told his disciples, and he told those around him, he told those in the temple, if you remember, he went into the temple and he saw what they were doing. They were selling things in there, and he told them, he said, "You've made my house a den of thieves." And then he goes on and he begins to tell them, he says, "I can destroy this temple and raise it again in 3 days." Boy, that made them just mad as they could be. They'd spent maybe a long time working on this temple, and here this man was coming over here saying, "I'll tear it down and I'll build it again in 3 days." Now you imagine, that must have struck them wrong. They must have thought, "We've taken all this time and he's going to come over here and say that?" Didn't sit well with them. But you see, they weren't talking about a physical temple. They weren't talking about a place that they thought was the place. That wasn't what it was. Jesus wasn't talking about that, but what he was talking about was his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that in 3 days that he would rise again. He told him, he said, "I will rise again. I will be resurrected from the grave." Have you ever seen somebody come back from the dead? I haven't. Been around a while and I haven't seen anybody come back. So this must have been foreign to them. To think that you could come back from the dead. His disciples knew who he was. And even here they were a little leery about what had taken place. Now I want you to think about something this morning. Had he died at Calvary and hadn't rose again, I'm going to tell you, I believe we'd still be lost and bound for devil's hell because of this reason. Because if he had died at Calvary and never rose again, he'd be a dead God. He'd be dead. He wouldn't be living. The only way that something can save a soul that has died is to live again. That's the only way that it would work. That's the only way that it could work. So brothers and sisters, while we better be thankful for Calvary, we better be thankful for the empty tomb this morning. We better be thankful that he came out of there just like he said he would. Has God ever not kept a promise? Anytime he said anything, he meant business. And when he said it, he was going to keep his promise just as much as anything he ever said. He said, "I will rise again." Oh, maybe they didn't believe him. So we get down here, and I want to get to these verses of Scripture this morning. And I want to get to the napkin. I want you to understand something this morning when we get there. But they get down to the burial. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, if you remember over in John chapter 3, he came to the Lord by night and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Except a man be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." This was Nicodemus, a man that was on the Sanhedrin court, a man that had a lot of clout. But here he was, and he was fixing to bury Jesus. I want you to know something today. I believe that Nicodemus was a saved man. I believe that. I believe that he had to have been worried about the body of Jesus. And I want you to think about this. Joseph was worried. He said, if they kill him, if they crucify him, they'll take the body and they'll do something with it. So he asked Pilate. He said, "Pilate, can I get the body? Can I bury Jesus?" And Pilate consented to that. I want you to remember something about Pilate. Pilate was willing to let Jesus go. He went before Pilate and Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man." But the crowd cried out that much more, saying, "Crucify him. Crucify Jesus." And Pilate washed his hands of what had taken place there. But you know what? I believe Pilate still died and went to hell. I don't believe that he was a saved man. The Bible never tells us that. But Pilate allowed this to happen. Pilate allowed Joseph to be able to have the body and take it to bury it. So they take it, and you've heard it, you know it, you've probably heard this, a sermon similar to this before, but the body went to a borrowed tomb. I'm glad that it was borrowed, because he wasn't going to stay there long. He didn't need a long-term place. The Bible says it had been one that no one had ever used before. It was brand new. It was ready to go in. And so they get there, and we get back to the Scriptures. And it says in the 39th verse, it says, "They brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight." Now I want you to realize something this morning. In that day and time, they didn't have the same way of taking care of a dead body as we do. No. They didn't have embalming fluid or things like that. So when it died, it began to decay very quickly. So something that they did was that they went and they wrapped the body in linen, and they spread out these fine herbs and things of that nature on the body so that it might slow down the decay a little bit, so that it might help the body a little bit. It was something that would be a good thing for the body. It would be something that would help the people, maybe help the family say, you know what, they've taken care of it. It was something that would be nice. You know, today when we go around for a funeral, we like to see the body in the best shape that it's in. We like to see the body and say, oh, they look good, or oh, they look like they're all right, oh, they look peaceful. I don't necessarily know that they were going to come around and see Jesus there in that tomb. If he'd still be laying there, people would probably still be going by to look, just like they go by other gods' graves and they say, oh, look, there's Muhammad, or oh, look, there's this God, or oh, look, there's that God. Their bones are there. My Savior's bones, my Savior's body is not there. They wrapped the body. And I want you to take notice of that. They wrapped the body in fine linen. I believe it was fine linen. I believe it was. I believe Nicodemus and Joseph, I believe they loved God. And I believe they wanted the best for Him. I believe that. And they wrapped it in Him. And they took a lot of spices. They took about 100-pound weight. They took a whole lot to take care of the Lord. They did. They loved Him, I believe. It says, "Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." This was a Jewish custom that they had to do. So they had taken care of that. And no doubt, as they had laid Him in the tomb, they had draped the napkin over His face. Just draped it over there. The best part about all of this is, it didn't matter what they'd done. Wasn't going to be there long. So I want you to imagine, and we're going to use Friday as the day, or we're going to, and as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen then, but we're going to use it this way. If we look at the calendar, the Jewish Sabbath would have been on Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. It changed at some point, but used to the day that you could not work, the day that work had to cease was Saturday. And I believe that they knew that anything that was going to be done had to be done before sundown on Saturday. Anything that was going to happen, any work that was going to take place, had to be done. And you couldn't take care of a body on the Sabbath day. You couldn't do any work. So they had to make sure they did it quickly. And they had to make sure that it was done. So we have a full day where the body is laid there. And they placed a big, I'm going to assume a big boulder there in front of the tomb. Probably something that you and I couldn't roll away. Certainly somebody that was dead wasn't going to be rolling it away. But they put the stone there. And Mary Magdalene comes back on the first day of the week. Went to go check on the body. And can you just imagine rounding the hill and looking over and seeing the stone rolled away? Well, what in the world is this? Where's he at? What's taking place? Why is the stone rolled away? The first thing she probably thought, somebody came and got his body. They worried about it. I believe they did. I believe they worried that somebody would get the body taken away and they wouldn't know where it was. These were his people that he'd been with. And yet they didn't even believe what he said about him coming and rising again in 3 days. Stone been rolled away. Mary found an empty tomb. If
doesn't excite us, if that doesn't make us happy, not much will. Because of the grave, because of Him not being there, He beat death, hell, and the grave. He beat it all. When He came out of the tomb, He took care of all of it. People say that, and there are some that believe that Christ never rose. That somebody came to get the body and they just left the clothes there. I want to get this, if the Lord be our helper. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And so she sees this, and she goes running. I guess she probably was as scared as she could be. She goes running to Simon Peter, and I believe John the Beloved. She goes to get them, and she, more than likely, I can imagine the conversation going a little bit like this. We've got to get back over there. Jesus is gone. Duh. We've got to get back over there. Somebody's taken the body. What are we going to do? Our Savior is gone. Amen. He's gone. What are we going to do? He's gone. Somebody's got the body. And they've hidden it and we'll never find it. At this point, Mary Magdalene hadn't looked in, I don't believe. She just saw the stone rolled away and she got so excited she ran back and got Simon Peter. She was going to take care of the body. And Peter goes. He probably thought, this woman has lost her mind. There's no way that the stone is gone. Maybe she just saw it. It was dark. Maybe she didn't see fully. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter. Can you just imagine? He outrun him. Probably scared him. He wanted to get there and see what was taking place. I imagine at some point they probably began to think, what did Jesus say to us? And He kept mentioning it, in 3 days I will rise again. In 3 days I'm coming out of here. It doesn't matter what's in the way, I'm coming out of the grave. They still didn't believe Him. The disciple outrun Peter. He got there. And he got there first and he stooped down. And I can't imagine it had been a very big open door there. But he stooped down and said he had to get down. And he looked in. And you know what he saw? Grave clothes. And the napkin folded. The grave clothes were still laying there. But it says the napkin had been laid away from it. You think about that for a moment. If somebody had taken the body, do you think they would have taken the time to go over, get the napkin, fold it back up and lay it away from the grave clothes? If they were going to get the body, they would have had to roll the stone away. That'd take some time. And get the body, and do you think they would have taken care of what happened once they got in there? I can just imagine the grave clothes laying in maybe a little bit like the way it was whenever He went out, He rose, but the napkin was neat and folded. It says it was laying away from the grave clothes. Now, preacher, what have you got on your mind that makes you think the napkin is important? I tried to look up what people said the napkin was. I didn't know. Had no idea what the object of the napkin meant. And maybe it means nothing to you today. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. I looked it up and there were some that said there was a Jewish custom between the master and the servant. And how a master, when he was eating at his table, if he was done, he'd take the napkin and they would throw it in the plate. They would crumple it up when it was done. But if a master was coming back, he would fold it to let the servant know, I'm still eating. I'm not finished. Well, if the servant saw that he wasn't finished, he wouldn't clear the table. If he saw that he was finished, he'd take it and he'd be done. You know the best thing about all of this? It was neatly folded. It wasn't crumpled up. It wasn't messed with in any way. I believe when God went out of there, He folded, or Jesus went out of there, He folded it up to be a witness to those that would see it to say, I'm coming back someday after a while. Now, I don't necessarily know how true that Jewish custom is. You can look it up if you want to. Some say it's not, some say it is. But I'm here to tell you today, when God left that folded napkin there, guess what? He made a witness to those. And it tells us here that they remembered what He'd said. That He hadn't told them necessarily in Scripture. But they remembered that Jesus said, I will rise in 3 days. It was something that had come back to their mind. Jesus had told them. But when they seen the napkin, well, they knew something then. They knew that nobody had taken the body. They knew that He had gone out of there. And then shortly after that, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. Was He in the flesh? No. He was going around to appearing to people. You know what this also means? It means that He is alive. It does. People today want to question whether God is alive. All you have to do is look at the tomb. The people and people that maybe have different conspiracy theories say, oh no! Oh no, somebody got it. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, because God left that tomb, He's alive. Had He stayed there, He would be dead because of the napkin, because of everything that transpired. Jesus is alive this morning. And He's the one that is still saving lost souls from a devil's hell. The 10th verse says, then the disciples went away again into their own home. I guess maybe they didn't really think that they had to go and say, somebody got the body. You know, they probably thought at first the Roman government's done something with this body. They've taken it and they've disposed of it. And now we're not going to have a place to reverence our Lord Jesus. Oh, but how little did they know. He was gone. He wasn't coming back to the tomb. And I'm going to say this morning. He's not ever going to be in another tomb. He's living today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for lost people today. Amen. The only way that He could do that is because He is alive, because He died on the cross at Calvary, because He went to the tomb, and because He came out of the tomb. It's the only way that could take place. I'll read a few more scriptures if the Lord be our helper. Over in 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter. And Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. And I guess maybe they had some questions about the resurrection. I'm telling you, people today don't believe it. A bunch of people don't believe it. They don't even believe He existed. So therefore, there's no way to believe that He came out of the grave. If those people want to take that thinking. And maybe the Corinthian church, maybe they'd had some questions. I'm going to tell you today, I've never seen anybody resurrected from the dead. Never seen it. Don't know what it'd be like. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says that faith gives substance for the things not seen. I've never seen it. I wasn't there. Oh, but I believe it. Through faith I believe it. The Corinthian church must have had some questions about the resurrection. I want you to read with me in the 12th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And Paul said, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward that they are Christ at His coming. He told them, He said, if He didn't rise, then our preaching is in vain. If He didn't rise, then once we die, that's it. If He didn't rise, then everything that I've told you is a lie. But He said, it's not. He said, those that die in Adam can be made alive through Christ Jesus. This morning, those that have not been saved, they are dead in trespasses and sins. When God saves a soul, He makes it alive. We become alive in Christ. Those that are dead in Christ don't know what it's like to be alive. They don't know anything about the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you today that when Christ rose from the grave, that was victory. Because of that, someday you and I will be resurrected out of the ground. Someday you and I will be called out of here. And I preached this just a few weeks ago about the general judgment. I believe it still. And guess what? Someday our bodies that lie asleep in a grave somewhere, they're coming out. The grave can't hold them. The grave cannot keep our bodies when Christ sounds the trumpet and time is no more. Those bodies are coming right on up out of there. And we're going to meet Christ in the air. That's exactly what He's talking about when He says, if in this life only man have hope, then they are of all men most miserable. That just goes along with everything that I've tried to tell you this morning about those that only believe that this life is all that they have. Praise be to God, this is not it. It's better further on someday because of Christ going away. And He told them, He said, for I must go away. I've got to go away. There that I am, ye may be also. I want to read just a few more verses of Scripture, and I'm going to try not to be too much longer this morning, if God will be our helper. I told myself this morning, I said, I'm not going to preach too long. Everybody's got family they want to go see. But when you got to preach, you got to preach. And I promise, I'll try to close up before long. 16th chapter of the book of John. 15th verse says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. He says, in a little while I won't be here, but in a little while you're going to see me again. Preacher, what are you talking about? In a little while, He told him, He said, I'm leaving, but I will come again to get you. You can't see me for a while, but someday you will. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Brothers and sisters, He would have lied to those people if He'd went to the grave and laid there. He lied to them. But He didn't lie to them. He said, I'm going away to prepare you a place. I'm glad the napkin was still folded. Had the napkin been laid in a different array, had He still been there, we would have no hope for a home eternal someday after a while. We'd have no hope in God the Father at all because who He sent wasn't perfect. He would have just been left in the grave. That's all it would have been. But I'm so thankful that He went to the grave for me. This next few verses of Scripture, and I'm not going to read them all this morning. It would take too much time. 27th verse of this same chapter says this. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father. Christ came here to this world. He was the perfect plan. He was the perfect sacrifice. He came. I want you to think about this morning. He came from heaven, where He had all power. And He came as a little lower than the angels, as the Bible tells us. He came down to walk as a sinful man, but was not sin. Came that way. He said, I came from the Father. And that was something that they really struggled with there in the New Testament when He came. He says, I wasn't born of the same things that you're born of. He was born a virgin birth. I'd never heard of that. Never heard of it since. And it won't happen again. But it happened once. It was God's only Son, Jesus Christ, physical Son. When you say that I came from the Father and I go back to the Father, that really bothered some of them. How can you do that? Because He's God's only Son. How could a man that was dead rise from the grave? It's God's only Son. How could a man heal those that are sick, those that are hurting, those that can't, or those that have died? He healed dead people while He was here on earth. How could He do that? He was God's only Son. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, and you may say, preacher, you've got it all wrong about the napkin. I'm here to tell you this morning, what took place there goes far beyond the napkin that was on His head. It goes far beyond the grave clothes. It goes far beyond the tomb. Brothers and sisters, what took place there means life everlasting for every single one of us. if he was still there, we could go. And you know, people today, I've never been over to his tomb. Maybe someday I'll get to go. But you know, there's not a whole lot to see. He's only there 3 days. People today in other faiths, they'll go, or other religions, they'll go and they'll go see the burial place of their God or their leader. I can go right over there. I can go look in all day long, but you know what I'm going to see? An empty tomb. That's all it is. It's an empty tomb. He left this body to go back to Christ. And I told this last night, I believe, at Old Paths. One night, at an altar of prayer, front bench at Pleasant Hill, right there. There's a little boy that cried out to God. He was hurting. You know, something felt wrong inside of me. I knew that. But I cried out to the Lord. And there was something that came from heaven above. And it came down from God and it fixed this old heart. People today say God's dead. And there's a movie out, God's Not Dead. Amen, He's not dead. He's living. We sang the song, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Amen. Not only is He at the right hand of the Father making intercession for lost souls, He lives right here. Every single day I know that I have Him with me. Because the napkin was neatly folded, and this one's not neatly folded anymore, but because it was neatly folded there in that tomb, because it was laying there, brothers and sisters, that showed the world. It was a witness. I was here, but I'm gone. But I'm not finished. I'm coming back. He made a promise. And brothers and sisters, that promise is as good as done someday after a while. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I enjoy living in this body. I do. I have a pretty good time. I like to joke, cut up, laugh, enjoy it. Good time. Have a good time. I like to have that. But you cannot start living until you've been saved by the grace of God. And someday, the life will be taken from me. I'll go to a grave, but I'm going to the Father in heaven. He says, I come from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. Someday I'm going to the Father. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The napkin, a witness. It was a witness to John. John went in and I guess he expected to see that the grave diggers had come and got him and they had taken him away. But it was a witness to him to say, don't you remember that I said, I'll rise again, as he said. He's gone. He's not here with us anymore physically, but someday He's coming back and we'll meet Him in the air. May God bless you is our prayer this morning. I pray that it has been beneficial for someone. I don't know if it's been a typical Easter message or not. I'm sure the resurrection's probably been preached all over the world today in probably many different native tongues and languages. But most of all, I'm thankful that He's still saving souls. That's why He died for you and me at Calvary. May God bless you is our prayer.